Welcome into the Boardroom, Wheel's premier all sports talk show. If you care about the sport, we talk about it. From Auburn football to the English Premier League, we discuss it all. Now sit back and relax, because the Boardroom is now in session.
And welcome back into the Boardroom, everybody. Today is March 21st, 2024, on this glorious first day of March Madness, Thursday. And after what feels like a month hiatus, we are once again back for the Boardroom. I'm Greg Spangenberg, alongside me, Connor Greenberg, Kyle Davis, and Nelson Early. And gentlemen, we're finally back.
We're back. Some might say we're so back. Not only are we coming to you live here from the Weagle Studio in Auburn, Alabama, but as you said, March Madness is upon us. We also have spring baseball, and this is the good stuff.
Well, and fellas, where were we last week? Why did we cancel the show?
Business trips, I might say.
On Monday, we were in Orlando.
Fair.
And then we came back. And Thursday, we had business to take care of in Nashville, Tennessee.
No, we were driving up on Thursday.
Well, we were in Athens on Thursday.
Okay. So let's put some respect on. We had business to take care of in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were en route. And boy, oh boy, did we take care of business. Come back.
We limboed through the competition.
SEC champions.
Getting down. I'm wearing the getting down the business shirt, and that's what we did in Nashville. What a performance from our boys for three straight days. This is the best. We're playing the best basketball we've played all year. Have been able to say that these last couple of years, even the Jabari year, because we kind of limped into March. This team looks good. You got to kind of slow your roll with how March Madness is, because, I mean, it is madness. You can never take any win for granted. But you got to believe that this team, at its best, can go up against any team in the country and have a chance to win.
Yeah, I think probably two of the key contributors, probably two of the more important players in Nashville, were Chris Moore and Trey Donaldson, which you probably didn't expect to say going in there, saying if you're going to win an SEC championship, you're going to need big plays and big contributions out of those guys. But not necessarily the total stat sheet, but making those plays at the right time. Chris had a big three against Mississippi State. Trey hit a couple huge buckets to keep us in both games Friday and Saturday. And, man, especially Friday against South Carolina, we just looked like the best team in the country. I mean, we literally looked like nobody could stop us on either side of the ball.
Yeah. Let me kind of highlight two players here with this talking point. Go back to the Kentucky game at home. It was our only home loss of the year. Towards the end of that game, Jalen Williams went down, and the whole arena kind of went silent. Since then, I dare you look at the stats of both Chad Baker-Mazzara and Chaney Johnson.
Yeah.
Because those two, Chaney because of positionally, but Chad with the scoring volume, picked up their games substantially. I think Chaney's averaging like 9 points the last five games, and Chad's averaging like 45 something from three. The guys who need to step up have stepped up. Also, Denver Jones has, for finally giving him the basketball, and he's shooting it with confidence. This team looks good. Let's see if we can continue that in Spokane this weekend, because you're remembered by what you are remembered by what you do in March, and most importantly, the tournament.
And I finally feel that the team now is becoming what we all thought the team was back in November. We were like, oh, this team's so deep, and, you know, we're going to be able to play like a ton of guys. They're going to have a lot of points and contribute a lot. But as the year's gone on, you know, we kind of noticed that if, like, Jalen has a bad game, you know, then we're in trouble. And then, you know, Jalen got hurt. We were like, this is the end. And then guys stepped up. And I think the tournament really highlighted how – so many guys play so much that two or three people can have a bad game or an off day or get in foul trouble and we still be able to truck along.
Yeah, Jalen Williams had 3 points against South Carolina. We scored 86 and won by 31.
Yeah, I mean, this team is so – I think it'll be highlighted more in the tournament due to the difference in kind of the way officials officiate and everything. This team guards very well. This team doesn't foul nearly as much as the box score will tell you. The team, especially down low with Dylan and Janai, have gotten a lot better since last year. And staying in front of their guys and making those buckets extremely difficult, whether they're just backing them down or getting a hand up in a face. And, I mean, throw it back to Sunday. A team in Florida that shot, what, 15 threes and made 15 threes against A&M made one. And it was a heat check, like NBA 3, to bring the game within one. This team did a great job of locking in the game plan. All three game plays were fantastic. And just the buy-in and the execution was flawless in Nashville.
It's just about how much more efficient this team is being. They're not settling. They're not doing what they did with the Wendell last year, where it was Wendell takes the ball up, pass, can't find it, look, pass back to Wendell, pass back to Wendell again. Either he checks up a shot with 5 seconds left on the shot clock, or someone takes a random heat check or long mid-range. It's just they're finding so many like different avenues to score the basket. And quite honestly, right now, maybe with Aiden getting more confidence back, I'd say probably everyone that's starting a lineup can score from almost anywhere on the court, especially with Janai, as long as he's staying consistent on how many threes he shoots a game. Because he's not going to shoot it like he did against, Mississippi State at home. But he looked really good. This team looked really good. And the way they were able to fight and just a hard-fought win over Mississippi State, they had some spots in Florida, but I was really mostly impressed from that Mississippi State game. The way that they were able to fight and just kind of come back from that, where there were some down moments, there were some adversity they went through, and then they just found a way to get through, and then got to Sunday where they were looking pretty good. Second half started off a little rough, and then they just found their groove. But all in all, an incredible weekend, and I'm excited to see what this team does tomorrow, because I'm very interested to see how far this team can take it, because everyone has said that we're the best 4 seed by far.
Shout out to the Auburn family. Sunday was probably one of the best atmospheres, especially outside of Neville, that I've ever been to. I mean, it might surpass whatever we were able to do in Neville just due to size. And also, I mean, there was a decent contingency of Florida fans there that were making it tough for certain spots. But, man, we came in droves. We were loud. And it was unbelievable how fun that game was.
Yeah, and kind of to Greasy's point about Mississippi State, I think that being our only single-digit win of the year, it kind of made those players have some experience and then go into Florida with some confidence that on Sunday, when we got down to 45-44 and that whole lead looked like it was slipping away, I think prior versions of this team and prior versions of Auburn would have collapsed, and that would have been a Florida 15-point win. And you go back, like, what that happened at halftime. The fans, the experience Saturday, and the poise of this team, they got down 45-44 and they put their foot on the gas pedal, went on a big run. The Denver Jones dunk capped it off, and, I mean, it felt like the game was over at that point.
Jedi Broom just ended a live of him playing PS5 with, I think, Aiden Holloway, so that's kind of cool.
That's really need that.
It's really hard-cutting analysis.
They're locked in. They're focused.
I mean, we're big dude journalists now. We gotta break the news.
That is true. That is true. And, I mean, every year you want to hang some sort of banner, whether that's what you do in a tournament and SEC – tournament or regular season, and this team is able to do that. But this team has sights on bigger and better things. I think they are not satisfied. Six más, as Chad Beckham-Rizar would say. Six more to go. Let's see what this team can do.
Six more to go. I mean, this weekend, I mean, two players on the all-tournament team, Chad Beckham-Rizar, Janai Broome. Janai Broome winning the tournament's most valuable player. But we kind of already talked about, I think, a little bit, but the impact that Chris Moore has had, especially since Lior went down, it's been incredible. He didn't really show too much versus Georgia on the senior night, but this tournament, man, he showed up and he showed out in a big way. And he was my personal under-the-radar player of the tournament, just the way he was able to come in. He had, I think, four or six rebounds pretty quickly on in that Florida or Mississippi State game. I can't remember which one, but he was just able to get it, and he made a three.
He didn't miss a shot.
He didn't miss out the entire tournament. I mean, he's a guy. I mean, Chad Beckham-Rizar is probably your best glue guy, per se, but he's kind of taking on a bigger scoring role. Chris Moore needs to be that glue guy that comes in after Chad and gets boards, gets in passing lanes, and scores when he needs to. Something I think Bruce talked about it in his press conferences, something whenever Lior started or took a spot in the rotation, he kind of beat himself up over it. And he was able to do those kind of things prior to this year something just didn't click until now, but he's found it. He's found his niche. He's found, I mean, Chris Moore, there's some stuff he isn't able to do, but stuff that he's able to do, he's keyed in on it and focused on it and is doing it very well right now.
Yeah, I think, if, you know, we kind of look at the weekend as a whole and head into tomorrow. I think if there's one critique I have or maybe one thing I'd like to see again, is Trey back in the starting lineup, or at least taking the lion's share of the minutes. I worry a lot about having a freshman point guard in the game, especially one who's kind of been as erratic as Aiden. Certainly had his moments. I think he has Mississippi State, he had 9. He's playing better, I just, especially knowing how Trey played in the tournament last year against Iowa, how he looked this weekend, I think when you're going to start to play some senior guards and some more experienced people, especially at the end of the game, crunch time minutes, you know, the final five, I want number three bringing the ball up. He's just a little bit more poised, and honestly, more importantly, he's a guy that can attack the rim. Even if he's settling and pulling up for a jump shot, like, he hits that mid-range, and you're testing the defense a little bit more when you're going to get the ball in the paint. It's going to create space for Jani. God forbid we, you know, look ahead to UConn, but you look at the matchup against Auburn and UConn, you're going to need Trey playing closer to 30 minutes than 20.
Stat yeah. for you.
Oh, we got stats.
Got a number. You know, this stat doesn't pass the eye test for me, but Aiden Holloway, only his turnover rate is 11.7%. Trey Donaldson's is 20%. A little worse, but his assist rate's so much better. Offensive rating, too. So, you know, it's just like the trade-off. I just feel when he's out there, maybe, that he doesn't turn it over 20% of the time.
A lot of those are in fast break.
Yeah, probably, a lot of those are probably trying to do too much, which is kind of uncharacteristic of him. But in the half court, he's so efficient. He's physical. I mean, he was a 4-star safety coming out of high school. And then what Jeff Goodman said about them yesterday, saying they're not athletic. Literally, our starting point guard was a 4-star safety. Could have played both sports if he needed to. I think he was recruited
for both sports.
Yeah, he was. I think Jeff Goodman looks on the inside.
Certified non-ball nerd.
A lack of athleticism.
I think Jeff Goodman needs to come back for another outlive game.
I think he does.
I don't think the check the first time around did not
face enough the noise. But let's kind of talk about for tomorrow with the Yale Bulldogs.
We look forward. Auburn v. Yale in the Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena in Spokane, Washington. This one's going to tip off at 3:15 p.m. in the Lord's time zone.
So true.
Central time.
So true.
False.
Let me...
Are you sure?
I think it's
3:15 in the actual Lord's time zone.
No.
I think you're missing up your facts there,
man.
Kyle.
I love being...
Can we verify this?
I will verify right now.
We will over the break. It's 3:15 in Lord's time.
Ooh, it is 3:15 on the Central time zone. Kyle got it right.
Wow. I mean, am I ever?
That's a dock off for the Eastern time zone, bros.
Kyle is the only one with his laptop accessible.
He knows ball, you don't, apparently. So He knows times.
I do know times.
He does know
times. Certified time knower.
But yes, when we come back, we will preview Auburn's matchup versus the Yale Bulldogs, what we like, what we don't like, and get you ready for that matchup. So do not go anywhere. Second segment of the Boardroom is coming right up. You're listening to the Boardroom on Weagle 91.1. FM. And welcome back into the Boardroom, everybody. You're hanging out with Griggs, Connor, Kyle, and Nelson. Last segment, we talked about Auburn winning the SEC Tournament Championship this past weekend. And now, we move on to Auburn's game against the Yale Bulldogs tomorrow at 3:15 p.m. Central Standard Time on, I believe, TBS.
TNT.
Wow. Man. TNT. Sorry.
TNT, if you could unmute the actual ball numbers here.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
We know Turner.
Yep. I know time. Here we go. KenPom 86 is Yale. Auburn 4 in the KenPom. You know, you don't want to overlook these kind of games, and you don't want to assume that we're going to beat them pretty bad. But I just don't see a lot of worlds. If I was another team's fan looking at this Auburn-Yale game, I wouldn't see a lot of worlds where Yale has a chance. I think we're favored 12.5. I think the only real situation where we get into trouble here is if they shoot the lights out.
Yeah. They have one of the best 3-point shooters in the country, August Mahoney.
The thing is, though, they don't take a lot of threes, though.
There is nothing scarier in March than a white guy who can shoot, as Kentucky's experiencing right now.
So true.
Well,
7 for 13.
Speaking of the Kentucky, remember that guy who told us that he thought, saw a mock draft where he had Reed Sheppard as the first overall pick in the NBA draft?
That's not happening.
I mean, to be fair, he was right. There was Montreal.
Yeah, that does exist.
But, yeah, it's not going to happen. Circling back.
They only shoot 29.7%, or 29.7% of their points come from threes. That's 200th in the nation. So that's not something they lean on, but that's just always the fear in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
Is they shoot really well, and then Auburn maybe gets in some foul trouble, and we don't.
Yeah, I did a little research. I did a little film study watching them play Brown. They squeaked by ever so slightly squeaked by Brown in the Ivy League Championship, 1-1 at the buzzer. This team, though, is very sound. They don't make mistakes. They are very, very slow pace. Auburn has fared well against teams with a very slow pace. South Carolina comes to mind, Vanderbilt. The thing about this team, we're able to play at pretty much any pace and just be better. We showed that in multiple games against multiple different teams, going fast and slow. What scares me slightly is not just Yale, but what Princeton was able to do last year against Arizona, upsetting them as a 15 seed. I mean, the presence is there. It could happen. I mean, I don't see where we could lose this unless we just have an App State or a UK-like shooting performance and they just go ballistic from three. But they're a very inside-out team. Their center is very tall and quite skilled. So it will be a tough match, but they are so thin. They have, like, two bench players, Yale does. If we play our game and run fast, they will get tired easily. We'll be able to out-athlete them and hopefully run them out of the building.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, Kyle briefly mentioned our depth of, like, if we can keep surviving and advancing, the second games of these little pods where you're playing your second game in 3 days, we certainly saw it in Nashville. Going into the championship game, Florida's kind of top guys had played double the minutes of what Jay Will and Janai had played. Now, they had played an extra game or two because of their seeding, but we're going to be able to just outlast guys late in the game and on the second game of these kind of little mini pods. So, especially, you know, if Auburn wins early or whatever, you know, keep an eye on the San Diego State UAB and how deep those teams are, because if they're playing 7-8 guys and Auburn's playing 9-10 and the minutes are spread out, 36, 48 hours later, the legs are going to be a lot more fresh.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's what was so crucial about or so disappointing in us getting the 4 seed and not the 3 is, you know, if we theoretically, we're talking about theoreticals here, next weekend if we make it, we would most likely have to play UConn on a Friday. If we were the 3, well, then we'd be looking at playing them on Sunday. Yeah. And it's such a difference, especially for this Auburn team, is those first games of the weekend are probably going to be the most crucial for us.
Oh, I'm way more nervous of us coming out flat against Yale than I think if we beat Yale, I think we're going to handle San Diego State or UAB just fine.
Yeah, there's a pendulum for most good teams in the tournament. They're either going to come out on fire against the lower seed, or you're going to pull up like an Illinois today and be down quite a bit and have to come back and grind one out. But it is tough with our placement being a 4, not just for the timing reasons, but if we are fortunate enough to make it to UConn, and if UConn's fortunate enough to make it to us, that's a Final Four-esque game right there in the Sweet 16. And the whole East region just goes to show you how kind of outdated the selection committee is in their criteria for these seedings. I mean, you had Kansas, who did the smart thing. It was something that FSU should have done in football. Knew that Kevin McCullers was not going to be able to play in the tournament at all, but didn't disclose that until yesterday.
It was Tuesday, after the seeding
and everything. They probably would have gotten bumped back. And I mean, they've kind of limped in to March.
Putting it nicely.
Physically limped. McCullough and Dickinson.
And McCullough will be out. They'll be lucky to
Dickinson's
get.
Questionable.
They're going to be in a dogfight against Sanford.
Buckyball.
Tonight. If that hadn't happened, we would have gotten probably an easier region, also way closer to home.
The thought of Auburn and UAB playing against each other in Spokane, Washington, is about the dumbest thing on earth.
I mean, all 4 teams from the state of Alabama were sent out west
with Alabama fans in attendance. It'll be yeah. Auburn if that.
No, they're different. They're a different Auburn. Session.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll buy tickets. I mean, tickets to the Spokane sessions cannot be that expensive.
Yeah, no, me and Carson today.
$12.
$12, yeah. And then $15 if you want to sit lower.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, it was crazy to think an Auburn UAB game with Alabama fans in attendance at in
Spokane. I mean the committee, it's kind of laughable what they're doing the basketball NCAAs as a whole. I mean, you create a evaluation tool on the net and just don't use it.
Nasty.
And so, I mean, you had it. Sorry, Connor, but I'm gonna pile on a team like Virginia, who scored 14 points in the first half. The committee would have been doing UVA a favor not putting them in. I mean, they embarrassed themselves on national television. It could have been an NIT first round exit. But that compiled with the 11 seed kind of controversy, Duquesne was able to get an upset win today. But having a net ranking team of 23 and a net ranking team of 86 be the same seed is also just equally as laughable. I mean, the selection committee has been so in and out and just not staying true to what they say their criteria is. At the end of the day, it's your non-con, your quad one, and if you're a blue blood or not, really. Because as much as I think Tom Izzo is a great coach and they play well today, they didn't really deserve to be in the tournament this year.
It definitely didn't deserve to be a 9 seed.
100%.
But
you know,
we're in the month of Izzo.
He those boys are playing well today.
Yep.
My upset pick, Mississippi State, to take it a little while in the tournament. Did not show up to
play. State,
Josh Hubbard
made me very
you
upset
are an
today.
Tiger.
Yeah, please.
That made me very upset today.
Wherever he goes is a lucky school. That kid is a special player.
The aura is crazy.
I had
going
visions
nuts.
Of him being this year's Marquise Noel, like the just super short point guard who refused to miss. And he played well today. His first team preseason All-SEC teammate, Tolu Smith.
Has been terrible since his injury.
Really bad.
He can't play.
Really bad. Awful shot selection.
Really bad.
Yeah.
All does is travel and miss hook shots.
He had foul trouble. He didn't take good shots.
It's all on
you,
Tolu.
They had Tolu Smith from last year, I think they'd probably win that game by 10. That was a disappointing SEC.
SEC's not looking good right
now.
Not
looking so hot.
I mean, to be fair, although UK is down at half to Oakland, go what, Bears, I think their mascot is? Something like
Grizzlies.
That?
Yeah,
the Grizzlies.
The Grizz.
Having State and South Carolina be your first two games was kind of tough because, I mean, Mississippi State's probably a better overall team, but South Carolina, man, what a bunch of frauds they are. I think they're easily the lucky – I think KenPom luck rating, the luckiest team in the entire tournament, and that luck ran out because I forgot who the guy's name is for Oregon, but he transferred out of South Carolina after Frank Martin got fired, put up 40 points in an NCAA tournament game against a team that has a quote-unquote good defense.
When's the last time a guy dropped 40 in the tournament?
Probably Jimmer or
Stefan.
I'll look it up.
Stefan dropped 40,
it's,
I think.
It's had to have been maybe Buddy Hield did it. I have a weird feeling he did.
I think Trae Young maybe did.
No, because they lost in the first round to Rhode Island.
Wow.
40 points in the tournament game?
In a first-round game.
I know Steph did.
Maybe Kyle, Ja?
Still looking.
Supercomputer
Kyle.
Maybe Ja.
Be a second. Final guesses, anybody? I
don't think Ja dropped 40. He wasn't shooting threes.
Did Max Aismus dropped 40?
No,
nah,
but that's a good,
he didn't.
That's a good guess.
Doing a little, this is great radio work right here, gentlemen.
Yes, we're just, yeah, this guy's sitting around doing
rain. I don't know if Stathead goes back for individual players, so maybe we'll never know. May not.
But regardless, 40 in a, especially on the lower seed, man, that's a crazy number to drop against your old team.
And they're mega hot.
South Carolina probably is not going to do that much better, but.
I mean, this is going to be
not necessarily a wonder why Ohio State and Louisville let him get that extension.
Yeah, I mean Lamont, what he was able to do this year was nothing short of amazing, and he probably deserves Coach of the Year based off just the stat sheet alone. But if he doesn't upgrade that roster, they're going to be probably a lot worse than they were this year. Michi has been ice cold from the field these last couple games. I mean, what's their center's name? Big guy?
B.J. Mack.
B.J. Mack.
He is.
If your team's led by B.J. Mack.
Fraud.
AARP B.J. Mack. AARP. Is the reason why they got him from Walford. He's not good. All it is two free throws and brick hook shots. That team in March, the teams with the most aura typically do very well. They are aura-less. They have zero aura, and they showcase it today.
Is that showing up on the net?
the aura rating?
I will say, like, There is a lesson to be learned from this year's Auburn team that two of the best transfers in the SEC are from a Division II school and a JUCO.
I mean, you had –
and Auburn got so much stick
for
that.
Oh, we got – dude.
So much stick.
Dude, we got so much slack for – I mean,
talent
look at,
development.
I think I saw it was like on threes like back in like May or June, like teams who won the portal. 7 of the 10 teams didn't make tournament, and the ones that did, I mean, you got, what, Alabama. I kind of forgot the list. I think maybe Clemson or somebody. But out of the teams that got in, they just, I mean, they weren't the cream of the crop. I mean, you had a team at the top like Arkansas who won 15 games this year. Mm. I mean,
Devo Davis is in the portal, currently looking for a partner.
Most of those guys are not going to find.
I believe it's rumored that Morehead State and Longwood are both interested.
Does not look like the Lady Tigers will be moving on.
No.
Yeah.
Dereva's still on.
Shout out Coach Jay and the Lady Tigers.
Great season. It was a really good year. Good year.
Big leap from last year. Going to have to replace Honesty, but I can't say I'm too surprised by that result.
Yeah.
Time to get in the portal.
Portal combat. Has already started.
The portal being open, we do not have time for this big rant. The portal being open during the month of March is insanity.
And if you're a coach
and
who
even
gets
Dan Hurley and some of the big coaches in college basketball are like, yeah, this is ridiculous. You are ruining, and the SEC did this yesterday by announcing the football opponents. March is a sanctity of a month.
Crazy cop out from the SEC, by the way.
Do not touch March. Leave the portal alone. Leave football alone. Let March stand on its own because nothing else matters.
No one
is paying attention to the portal kids.
We were so close to Greg Sankey the other day. I can't believe we didn't like heckle him or anything.
Yeah, the same opponent thing is a joke.
Like the schedule is disgusting. I mean,
LSU again.
Rolling it out during March Madness. There are so many other things I'd rather
just leave it alone.
They were just trying to slip it in. So
yeah, but like
it's an MLB move. That was an MLB move.
And that's a sidetrack. But like the kids that are in the portal right now are still in school. You can finish your semester and then go in the portal. There are no practices happening after April.
I mean, Caden Proctor's already back in, but that's a different rant for maybe a later in the show time.
But yeah, we have to head to break. But breaking news before that, JD Martinez is going to the Mets.
No one cares.
Wow.
So washed.
I just wanted to say breaking news.
Washed.
We've not done a breaking news in so long.
So old
and
so washed.
He's very washed. But when we come back, we have the second half of the show. We're going to talk more about our brackets. And then later on the show, we're going to give our final four predictions as well as our weekend picks. So do not go anywhere. Next half of the boardroom is coming up next. You're listening to the boardroom on Weagle 91.1 FM. And welcome back into the boardroom, everybody. You're once again hanging out with Griggs, Connor, Kyle, and Nelson. Last time we talked about Auburn's matchup versus Yale. And then we went on a little tangent against sports news, mainly talking about the transfer portal. But now it's time to talk more about the tournament. Right now, we've only had a few upsets today, if you can count it by the numbers. Of course, the biggest one today is being Duquesne beating the
BYU.
Beating the Cougars.
That fat center on BYU who missed layups, missed open threes, and can't move on defense.
Good.
Go to Indeed.
Good. Good. It's their first appearance since, 77?
77. And
their first win since 68,
right.
Something like that.
Good for them.
What a story.
Good for them.
What a story for the Dukes of Duquesne, a team that it took me maybe 18 years to learn how to pronounce, Duquesne-esque, something like that, Duquesne's, whatever, however you pronounce it.
Shawshank Redemption taught me how to do it.
They played very well today. They looked good. The tournament needs a couple upsets, and the Dukes provided that. And hoping for tomorrow, maybe another Dukes team, not Duke, but the Dukes, James Madison might fall in their footsteps and beat the Badgers, But yeah, now we're kind of in a lull right now in the tournament. I think Oakland is up at the half over the Kentucky Wildcats. If they can hold that lead, what a start for the SEC in the tournament so far.
Yeah, Gonzaga is destroying McNeese 44-20. I think we can go ahead and chalk that one up. Iowa State, South Dakota State, it's coming back a little bit.
Let's kind of talk about probably the game I'm most interested in tonight. The Kansas Rockshot Kansas Jayhawks against Buckyball, the Stanford Bulldogs. That has all the makings to be a massive upset and a very interesting game to watch. I think I've seen multiple like Kansas media personalities kind of talk down about the Bulldogs, saying that all they do is run fast, press, and shoot threes.
That's all you do.
That's all you just
that's
and
pretty
do it well.
Darn good.
If that's all you do and you do it well, you're going to beat a lot of teams. And without McCullers and with Dickinson questionable, this team is they're hardly even a team. They're a good team with those two healthy. But without either of those two, they are a shell of a team.
Could you imagine 2 years ago, after Kansas had just beaten Carolina in the championship, saying, all right, in 2 years, Kansas is going to be playing Samford in the tournament, and most people are going to have a hard way of finding how Kansas is going to win.
I mean,
that's crazy.
I can, but,
good
but,
for Sanford.
But it's basketball. I mean, last year UNC, they 2 years ago against Kansas,
I'm
they
just
made
the
championship.
A school like Sanford, who, I mean, they can't have been Division I that long.
No,
like,
no,
they're a relatively new program on the block. Like, a former high school coach, and by former, I mean like not that long ago, a high school coach. I believe he coached Leor Berman in high school.
The Fighting Spartans of Mountain Brook.
Which we don't need to go on a Mountain Brook tangent.
I digress.
To beat or the potentially beat one of the four blue bloods of college basketball.
Yeah, five count Auburn.
Five if you count Auburn. It's a cool story. I'll be rooting for them. I picked them to go all the way to my Sweet 16. Now I had them beating McNeese, which starting to look like that should not have been the trendy upset pick. Known better than to bet on Will Wade. But he made a strong offer.
He did make a strong offer. I mean, they're not playing the Fighting Mississippi College for Women anymore. They're fighting.
They are not.
They're fighting co-ed schools now.
And I think Will Wade may have one foot out the door to SMU.
Yeah, probably. I mean, even I saw a tweet today that said Musselman was linked to SMU, which
they have a bag, and now they're ACC.
SMU was like the OG Bagman back in the day.
Yeah, it was Larry Brown.
Yeah, OG.
He did it before. It was cool.
Let's check a lot of other teams. But, man, this tournament so far picks-wise has been kind of a bummer for me and for a lot of people. But the parity in college basketball this year, I won't be surprised if we see some massive, massive upsets tomorrow and later tonight.
Let's hope it stays out of –
He's out of Spokane.
Not all the way out of Spokane.
Not all the way. The Auburn Tigers.
I have my hot take prediction. I think by the time Sunday night ends, we'll have at least one, if not two seeds out of the tournament.
Who can you see? I mean, I think Iowa State will advance. Arizona.
Arizona already advanced.
Arizona looks shaky first stretch. Now, so did Dayton. I think Florida, if they get there,
can beat Marquette.
Can beat Marquette.
I have them over Marquette in a lot of my brackets.
I think Texas can give Tennessee a run for their money if Texas can hold on.
I want to see.
And that's a classic. Could you imagine a Rick Barnesing against his old school?
That's.
I
was dreaming about.
I want to see.
But I think Drake and Washington State could both give Iowa State a run for their money.
I think Drake.
Iowa State is so due for a game where they come out and throw up a duck. So I think that's my. I think there's going to be a couple two seeds, maybe two, maybe one that are flying back to campus on Sunday instead of a Sweet 16 site.
Mine is I really want to before I say Marquette because I did have them in my final four. I really want to see what Tyler Kolek looks like because that's a big factor. I mean, he's the Big East Player of the Year. He's been out for the entire Big East tournament. They say this is just to give him some rest. With that, I do think Houston is beatable. In that regard, I think I think the Washington State's going to win. I think too many people are on Drake. Not the same way for Sanford. I do think Sanford will probably win tonight. The way they play, especially if Hunter Dickinson isn't 100% and McCullough's out because they lost to Cincinnati. Losing to Cincinnati in the Big 12 tournament.
By 20.
Disgusting. So
yeah, I think the teams that limped into the tournament, I mean, it tells all its time. The conference tournament isn't the end all be all, but if you lose a couple games in the regular season at the end of March and then lose your first game, I mean, Auburn knows about that full and well in 2021, how that fares for you in the NCAA tournament.
I don't think we'd be talking about Oregon playing in the Sweet 16 or potentially if Auburn didn't beat South Carolina by 31.
Yep.
I think if that was a close game, South Carolina feels a lot better about themselves. And I think ended up turning out. Now, they were somewhat fraudulent. I think it was just a nightmare matchup for them against us. And they got really unlucky playing us because I think South Carolina could have beaten Florida. I think South Carolina could have beaten Kentucky the way they played in Nashville.
I mean,
could have beaten
South
Alabama.
Carolina beat Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee all in the regular season.
On the road. They won in Knoxville.
I think we deflated the
Auburn Twitter. We broke them. I don't know if we broke them. I think we deflated them to a point where they were not recoverable because I don't think we broke Mississippi State that way. I think Mississippi State just lost.
Yeah. But for South Carolina, imagine losing to a team by 40 and then going on neutral floor and losing to them by 30.
Just another highlight of how awful the NCAA is in this committee. Auburn got punished for beating South Carolina so badly twice that it pushed them out of a quad one win, which would have been two quad one wins.
I think we pushed them out of quad one both times at the time.
Both times.
At home, they were on the edge. And
God forbid that one or two quad one wins was the difference between us playing UConn in Boston and a Purdue team that is known to choke in Detroit. That's a big swing.
Yeah, yeah. It's the
Playing our first two games in Omaha.
But just think of how silly it is. Silly this is that there aren't a set of like maybe eight or nine experts on this. I mean, people do bracketology. I think they'd have a lot better shock of seeding than random athletic directors from across the country who might or might not have implicit biases.
Whose job depends on what they're doing? I mean, that's not written into their contract, but it's definitely an optics thing as one school across the state. Seth Lichter, who's on the committee, it looks a lot better if your team's a four rather than a six or a five where they probably belong.
I mean, I don't think they're allowed to seed their team directly, but I think, I mean, they definitely have say over other
influence, and they know who's in the room. And when they get up and leave the room, they're like, hey, well, we got to take care of Greg. And listen, it happens in all sports. John Cohen last year was the head of the baseball selection committee.
Yeah,
and Auburn, somewhat controversially, hosted a regional.
It was proven wrong.
Yeah.
And lost both our first two games. Like, it happens across the board. So let's have people who do not have bias.
There's plenty of people in basketball, football, and baseball.
I hate him with a passion. But Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, and Jay Wright could sit in a room, the three of them, and do a 30,000-time better job. You cannot tell me that the three of them who know basketball inside and out and understand analytics to an extent couldn't sit in a room and see this. And by the way, can we get rid of all the conference can't play each other. Let's go 1-68, straight seed list, where location. We'll do that after. But the whole, like, oh, we'll place them in this region and whatever, get rid of it.
Yep.
UConn should be playing the number 8 overall seed as their 2 seed, the 9 overall seed as their 3 seed, and the 16 overall seed as their 4 seed.
Yeah.
There's all the rules and the little stipulations make this thing way too complicated because it doesn't even help put the teams in the right locations anyway.
And
Creighton can't even play in Omaha because they're the quote-unquote host, and you have Auburn and Alabama who are 4 seeds playing in Spokane, Washington. It makes no sense.
And if you're going to do it that way, your number 8 seed should not be the best 2 seed analytically. I mean, analytics is, I mean, you can straight resume and quad one and all that is great, but you can't tell me that Iowa State is the worst 2 seed. You can, after they just destroy the number 2 overall seed, Houston, that it's so clear they don't watch basketball on Sunday. And if that says that AC and Big 12 and other conferences should move it back to Saturday like the AC did, fine. But, like, every game matters. They played the game for a reason. I mean, I know the pride of winning a championship is great, but it has to matter somewhat to the committee. And, I mean, the quad, it just seems like the quads just ruled them. It's just the end-all, be-all, when all it is just two numbers. That's easy and quick to look at. If the biases are clear and they're going off just a handful of criteria, it's a lot of lazy criteria because all it is pedigree and quads and non-conference, which are three lazy things to grade by.
And with that, we are going to head into our final break of the evening. When we come back, it's time for us, all four of us, to release our final fours, one sleeper team, and then, of course, our weekly picks. So do not go anywhere. Last segment of the show is coming up next. You're listening to The Boardroom on a Weagle 91.1 FM. And welcome back into the boardroom, everyone. Once again, hanging out with Greg Nelson and Kyle and Connor. Last segment, we talked about some more of the tournament, what we liked, what we didn't like. And now we're getting into our final four. So let's start off with the resident ball knower himself, Mr. Kyle Davis.
That's right. We're going to do this by region, fellas, by region. And we're going to start in the Midwest.
The region of
I forgot. Yeah, I should have had those.
Probably drama, I think.
No, that's the region. That's the West.
This is the region of tension.
The region of tension.
The region of tension.
Thank you, John Rothstein.
So after half a day of games, my bracket does not need to be burned just yet. But I'm just gonna take who I picked originally, and that's gonna be Creighton. Final four.
I think I'm gonna share your sentiment. I think Purdue were just #massive frauds. So it's Tennessee. So going with the Blue Jays.
I am also going with Creighton.
Wow. Safe graphic.
It's a boardroom unanimous pick.
Wow.
Boardroom unanimous.
Boring.
On a final four. Well, it is the Midwest.
Oh, and I had these are all two-pointers, might I add. These are two-pointers.
Trey Alexander, Stephen Ashworth, Baylor Shireman all can hit shots. And Ryan Kalkbrenner, huge presence in the middle. I think if they come up against Purdue, he's going to make Zach Edey his little baby boy.
I think so, too. I agree.
We move forward, but first we move backwards. I forgot to score update.
No, we don't want to hear this.
It's been a few weeks. We picked a lot of games.
We should restart it.
There was one scoring thing we needed to vote on.
I believe I recall this.
Yeah, LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre. It ended in a Randy Orton RKO.
It was electric,
so,
by the way.
So the real winner was everyone who were able to watch it. Show of hands.
So true.
Oh, great. So true. Oh, sorry.
You got done a show since I went to Chicago?
Exactly.
That's crazy. It's actually been a long...
But, holy like Kyle said, the real winners got to witness that live.
Yeah.
So true. Which means...
Everyone but Griggs.
Everyone that watched it gets a point. Unanimous
everyone
vote.
But Griggs.
I was having a raving time.
Score update. Constantly 51. Kyle's in second with 48. Nelson with 42. And Griggs with 40. But could be a big week. Could be a big week shaking things up. Well, I guess these won't happen for a couple weeks. But besides the point, here we go. We just did the Midwest. We're going to go to the West. The West region, other side of the bracket. I'm taking Arizona.
I'm going to completely fade you. After what they showed me today, this is a Cinderella-like run for the Dayton Flyers.
Wow.
This region is crazy. This region is crazy top to bottom. I see a crazy team going to the Final Four here. Give me the Flyers.
Rah-rah, Carolina, go to Duke. I'm going with the North Carolina Tar Heels.
That was so lame.
In the region of drama, give me R.J. Davis hitting a step back over Caleb Love as payback for Caleb Love sleeping with his girlfriend.
No, allegedly.
Allegedly sleeping with his girlfriend. And give me the Tar Heels making the Final Four.
We head to the South. You know, I don't have a lock, really, but if I did, this would be the one. Houston's making the Final Four.
Yeah, Houston, honestly, their biggest test might be probably their second-round match against either Nebraska or A&M. I think both of the teams are very good, can score. I think after that, their guard play on defense, especially, just is suffocating to any team. I think that'll take them a long way. Houston in the Final Four. Griggs.
13 years after the fact, give me a return to the Final Four for Shaka Smart.
Wow.
Marquette.
I am going to fade Griggs here and join the fellas. I think Jamal Shedd, LJ Cryer. LJ Cryer's got national championship experience from Baylor. Guards win in March. I think we'll talk our national champion predictions later. But I think I think if I had taken my heart 100% out of our picks – I probably would have had Houston win it at all. They got their stinker out of the way against Iowa State. And I think this region is going to have a lot of carnage where they may not even have to face one of the top four seeds until a fateful night in Phoenix. So I'll ride with Kelvin Sampson, Houston for dinner.
I think Houston was better last year, too. So
I don't know. They still didn't make it. I don't think so.
No.
I think they were.
No.
Sasser was good, but I think LJ Cryer is better.
Yeah.
Last region. We need to do this one a little bit quicker because of the thing. I need to explain the rules at the end. I'm going to ride with the boys. I'm going to take Auburn. It's not the wisest choice, but if we get through UConn, it's over.
I'm going to hedge my happiness. I'm going to go with the Huskies of UConn.
I'm going to pick with my brain, not my heart. I'm going with the Huskies.
See, thankfully, I'm so far ahead of Griggs that even if UConn beats Auburn, he still won't be remotely close to catching up with me. So, war damn Eagle. Not 100% a hard pick. I honestly think if anybody in this field can beat UConn, it's Auburn.
Yep.
The depth, The guard play is going to be good enough if we can get Trey Donaldson to lock up Tristan Newton to an extent.
We got
to
get to Tristan Newton first.
We got to get there. I understand. But I think Chad Baker-Mazzara and Jani Broome are going to be two players that UConn just really hasn't seen. And I think that's a Chad Baker-Mazzara game run all over it. Give me 20 points from Chad. We beat them. And I'm not sure who we would play in the Elite Eight theoretically, but Iowa State is looking shaky right now. It's a 4-point game against the 15 seed.
Illinois' second half today was unbelievable.
And Illinois' first half looked abysmal. So I'm not sure who we would have to play there the second game in Boston, but give me the Auburn Tigers.
Before Kyle says his thing, a Dan Hurley-Bruce Pearl sideline matchup,
Oof.
Shouting match,
Pray for the refs.
Okay, so this is how we're going to do it. Underdogs, you can pick any team. Any team. Could be a one seed. But the way you're getting points here is the seed times the number of wins they have. So if a 16 seed gets two wins, that is 32 points.
Wow.
We should throw a decimal there. This should be 3 points.
We're going to divide by two at the end. We're dividing by two. So at the end, we're going to divide by two to kind of...
weed it.
Yep. To bring it down to earth a little bit, but still, this is this could be a huge
and
amount.
And teams
of
that have already played do not count.
Yes, yeah, so are we doing a random number generator?
I already have the order. It goes Griggs,
oh.
Kyle, Nelson, Connor.
I
That's the order.
Let's make it quick.
Cannot pick the same team.
Griggs Blankenberg will be selecting the New Mexico Lobos.
It's a good pick from a good conference.
Good pick.
Okay. Everybody's saying that Sanford's going to win this game. And I think because of that, they're not going to, but I really want them to. Heart pick, Sanford Bulldogs.
Wow.
Bucky ball.
I'm going with the first team with a single-digit seed. Might be a little lame, but I think they got a decent road to the Final Four. Give me another team from the Mountain West, the Utah State. I think they're the Aggies.
Ooh. Yeah,
Utah State.
Well, that's a...
Berg.
It's a tough decision here. I've got two teams I'm thinking of. I'm going to ride with the Florida Gators.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick.
Ooh. I think they've got a good, tasty matchup with Marquette. I think they can beat Kentucky because we've seen them beat Kentucky. I like them as a 7 seed. I think they're going to get some value because, what is it, 2 wins, that means 14.
Divided by 2.
Divided by 2, so 7. So
and
I
we will round.
I think if Florida wins twice and Sanford wins once, I'm still up. So I'm going to place a bet. I almost took Auburn because I think if Auburn gets 4 or 5 or 6 wins,
yeah,
put you
pretty fast
in a safe bet. My long shot would have been the Dukes of James Madison. I think that was probably another consideration. But I'll ride with my tribe member Ty Golden.
Yep. All right. That's pretty much all I got for the pick 'em. The thing here is now that I think about it more, it does kind of, I mean, like Connor just did, if you do pick a mid seed, that might do a little damage.
Ball knowledge. I think that's
Connor,
the name of the game right now.
Yeah, Connor might.
Now watch me and Connor's team losing here. The first round. And
the SEC's not looking good.
We got a record watch right now. Jack Golic just made his 9th three, and he is now 2 away from tying the all-time most three-pointers in a game in the NCAA tournament. Against Jeff Fryer of LMU.
Wow.
Loyola Marymount.
Wow.
Back in 1990. One more three, and he'll join Freddie Banks, Robert Sally, and Carson Edwards from UNLV,
wow.
Memphis, and Purdue, respectively.
Wow. Also, shout out bad getter Caden Proctor, the ex-Iowa Hawkeyes double legend, for not only swindling thousands of dollars away from the Hawkeye Collective, but also running back to the big bad wolf that is Alabama Crimson Tide. It's not the first time he's done this. He decommitted from Iowa and flipped to Alabama on signing day. He's also a home state kid. He's from Iowa. Breaking the hearts of millions. Doing it again, breaking the hearts of Alabama fans everywhere after Nick Saban retired. Only to come back. This dude's all about the headlines. Respect to him. Contracts will be in college football real soon.
Miles Robinson, at the death, the United States will draw Jamaica.
We don't care.
Fire Greg Berhalter, please.
Yeah, that's true.
Please, your God.
But yeah, that is going to do it for our episode of The Boardroom. Missing today's show. You check it out on your favorite podcast platform later. We will be back here next week, we hope. We hope. We hope we'll be back here next week.
Nate, we're in Boston.
We might be in Boston. Who knows? But we're going to try to get an episode next week, so don't you worry. But until next time, for Connor Greenberg, Kyle Davis, Nelson Early, I'm Greg Spikenberg. This has been The Boardroom on Weagle 91.1 FM. We thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend of basketball and War Damn Eagle.
Thank you for joining us for this session of The Boardroom on Weagle 91.1 FM. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back to the show on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next week, and this meeting of The Boardroom is officially adjourned.